Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tuesday, January 13th, 2009, Carrboro Board of Aldermen meeting. I would like, before we begin our regular agenda, a person who meant a lot to, I know, everyone on this Board of Aldermen passed away while we were on a break. And so I would like to ask everyone to have a moment of silence in honor and memory of Mrs. Rebecca Clark. Thank you all very much. Mrs. Clark was a really true pioneer of civil rights movement in our local community, because she was old enough to be around from before there really was a civil rights movement, at least a 20th century civil rights movement. And I know we're all going to miss her, but I know we're all going to remember her and carry her work forward into the future. We are on our consent agenda, Mr. Manager.
Item one is a resolution in support of applying for 2 North Carolina Safe Routes to School grants. Item two is a request to establish a grant projects fund to recognize a Coverdell grant received by the police department.
Mark, I just have a quick comment about number one.
Yes, ma'am.
The resolution states in it that the town of Carrboro currently participates in a Safe Routes to School action plan for Carrboro and McDougall Elementary Schools, and I thought maybe if it's not already in the works that we could also look at pursuing that for Morris Grove, being a part of the plan for Morris Grove as well.
In so. Carrboro High School.
In the high school.
Well, yeah.
Well, but I guess I was kind of particularly right. thinking of elementary schools.
Right,
but,
right.
What, yeah. what, Mr. Manager, do you have a reaction to?
I would turn to Adina because I'm not sure what that might involve.
And let me just say, I'm not saying to redo this or anything. I'm just saying from this point forward, whenever.
Yeah, we actually did ask if we could include Morris Grove in the action plan, and they said that we could not. Not meanly, but they just said that the funds were not there to include that.
Okay.
And the Safe Routes to Schools program is only for K through 8.
But just something for the future. That's what I was
thinking. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we will attempt to have Morris Grove included in subsequent years. All right.
Move the items.
Oh. All right. So second. Moved and seconded for the consent agenda. Moved by Alderman Brown and seconded by Alderman Lavelle. All those in favor,
aye.
Signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed, matter passed unanimously.
I just want to say kudos to the police department for getting the grant, and great job.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. All right. Mr. Manager, we are on agenda item B1.
Okay. Item 1 is one that I'm particularly pleased to be introducing to you all tonight. This is Better Together in Action presentation. The purpose of this agenda item is for town staff to present to the Board of Aldermen how different departments work better together to create a safe, relaxing, and enjoyable environment for all people who participate in our events or take part in our town activities. And I'm going to turn it over to this group of folks here to do the presentation. Joel, are you taking the lead? Captain Booker.
Mr. Mayor and Board of Aldermen, we're very pleased to be here tonight to give you an opportunity, and Mr. Stewart, thank you for allowing us this opportunity to sort of find out a little bit about who we are as town employees working here for the town, and how we as different departments work better together to accomplish the task, the goals, and the things that go on about town. The first person I'd like to call up tonight to help give a little bit of background on sort of why we got to this point tonight and what this presentation will sort of be about is Ms. Nancy Hemsley. She is with the Management Services Department. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. Good evening, and again, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you and to speak to you this evening. As Joel mentioned, my name is Nancy Emsley. I'm the accounting officer for the town, and I work in management services. The town of Carrboro engaged in a Better Together project in January 2006. Since this kickoff meeting in January 2006, town staff has been working together with representatives from all divisions to develop a vision statement, goals, and strategies for the Better Together initiative. The Better Together project has gone through several phases as part of the process of moving this initiative forward. Data collection occurred from all departments and levels in the organization. Using the data collected, strategy groups were created to focus on goals identified and develop action plans. Many of the actions identified have been implemented and are being sustained as part of the new culture created from the Better Together initiative. Our Better Together vision statement. The Better Together project will grow a better organization by promoting a quality work environment for all employees, effective organizational communication, and teamwork in order to provide excellent service to the community. Our Better Together initiative has developed some streamlined goals. Goal one, build trust throughout the organization. Goal two, promote mutual respect for and knowledge of roles of the board and staff. Goal three, increase meaningful and productive communication through the organization while adhering to communication protocols. And goal four, maximize effective use of internal and external resources. The goal that we are focusing on this evening is goal two, promote mutual respect for and knowledge of roles of the board and staff. And as mentioned earlier, this resulted from the Better Together project and its vision statement. And what we'd like to do this evening is to share with you what we do and how departments interact. And our presentation, we hope, illustrates the challenges that staff face and hopefully a better understanding of our roles. The cast for tonight's presentation include David Poitras, who's in Public Works, Scott Trombley from our Fire Department, Joel Booker from our Police Department, Kim Andrews from Recreation and Parks, and Nancy Emsley, which is me, from Management Services. And at this point, I'd like to call David Poitras to the podium.
Good evening. I think we all understand the importance and need of working better together when faced with emergencies or weather events impacting our community. Likewise, working better together is necessary for planning and conducting special events when road closures or rerouting of traffic affects the general public and emergency response. It's my opinion the event planning process formulates relationships and prepares town staff to work better together when faced with emergencies. On a day-to-day basis, Public Works administers the use of public right-of-ways to provide consistency of use and enforcement of town code. For such activities, such as construction projects, utility repairs or infrastructure improvements, and special events such as the Thanksgiving Galloping Gorge, with over 900 participants seen here headed north on Greensboro Street from the start line at Robertson. Several meetings are held with the applicant, town staff, and other affected parties to identify event needs and potential conflicts such as a UNC home football game or basketball game due to traffic concerns or other prior scheduled events or activities that could conflict or impact town resources. In the case of a new event such as the Obama election rally, staff needs adequate time in order to properly review the application, clarify requests from the applicant, and time to think through how the event would impact town facilities or services. recurring events such as July the 4th or the Carrboro 10K Run Race or the Carrboro Music Festival are reviewed annually and planning updated. The departments depicted here work together to plan the event by identifying and acquiring needed resources such as sanitary and first aid facilities, additional lighting in the case of a nighttime event, traffic control devices such as barricades, cones, or lighted arrow boards, determine emergency access routes, and other event needs. Currently, there are 22 annual events running from mid-March through mid-December involving 2,400 hours of preparation and 1,900 hours working the events. The event can involve as little as 2 or 3 employees for the annual town hall tree lighting ceremony, and up to 30 to 40 employees for our larger events such as the music festival and holiday parade. For our much larger events, time is taken to develop a traffic control plan so that we clearly can articulate to those involved with the event what roads are closed, what our alternate routes are. Our larger events affecting town roadways requires us to formulate a traffic control plan for us to effectively manage event traffic to minimize impact to the general public and to provide a safe environment for those attending the event. We have spoken a lot about working better together between departments, but communication and interaction and working better together is essential across all 5 divisions of Public Works to provide event staffing and resources. In many cases, there are street, solid waste, fleet, and landscape and grounds employees all working together. For events at town facilities, employees from building maintenance get into the act with addressing electrical and other facility needs. It is important that we keep in mind that events scheduled during a work week presents many challenges to Public Works due to our small workforce and current day-to-day service commitments. In conclusion, Public Works coordinates public notification, identifies potential costs, provides pertinent information and staff recommendation. And like the example shown here, our mission is to provide a fun and safe environment for those who are attending our events, including those that require special accommodations. Next, we have Lieutenant Trombley from the fire department.
Thank you, David. My name is Scott Trombley. I'm with the lieutenant with the fire department. Once the fire department receives notification of the event, we meet with Public Works, police, recs and parks, and others that are involved to determine what type of event it is. Types of events would be once we determine what type of event it is, whether it be a road closure or a staged event, that determines what course of action we're going to take. Types of road closures would be the music festival, the holiday parade, and others would be the road races that the town sponsors. Types of stage events would be the Obama rally, and Carrboro Day, and others would be the 4th of July, and any such event that would not shut down the roads. Then we go back and we plan what course of action we're going to take, whether we need to call back personnel from off duty, so to leave the on-duty shift to run fire and EMS calls. We determine whether we need bike patrols to roam the events during road closures. We determine whether we need roaming patrols to walk through the crowds during stage events. We may want to team up with EMS, as we did with the Obama rally, to work the event. We may need to stash additional fire apparatus for backup to assist police with scene illumination or backup of the on-duty shift. We meet with police and Public Works to see what roads will be closed so as to know where we will stage our trucks. Such events as the holiday parade where the town is divided in half, we would stage one truck north of the event, one truck south of the event, and we would have another truck in a neutral location. The Halloween, we would work with PD and Chapel Hill to assist them where they need us. Road races, we would plan alternate routes to get to the call as fast and as safely as we could. We work with Rex and Parks to determine if they are going to have food tents, food service areas, because they have to be inspected just like any other business in town. Such events would be the Carbo Day and the 4th of July. Then we would determine whether we're going to set up a public education exhibit, which we usually do. And this is to offer to the citizens of the community what types of service the fire department gives them. We install car seats, smoke detectors. We even do home fire inspections. We have a smoke trailer that we have to teach the kids to stay low in case their house is on fire and teach them how to get out of the fire. And last but not least, our final step would be the reason we're here, safety. The reason we work better together is for the safety of the residents of our community. That is why we're here. And that concludes my part of the thing. Captain Booker.
Thank you, sir. I'll cover some of the mission with the police department and what we do at events and behind scenes. First off, the police department works in conjunction with other town departments to provide service and support for over 30 different townwide events. Our numbers vary a little bit from what David described because some of the events are very small, like the kidney care race, where we only need a couple of officers. We don't need traffic control common and things like that. As some of the Cardinal Track Club events have grown, which is great, we're finding more and more need for public works at times when usually just police were out handling those events. Our mission is to help create a safe, relaxing, and enjoyable environment for all persons who participate in our events or who take part in town-wide activities. These events can be town-sponsored or private. Town-sponsored is like the music festival or Carbo Day. Private events can be something like the races where y'all have approved for those to occur in town, but they're not actually funded by the town. They're funded by private vendors. Music festival, we have 17 officers that worked at this past year. They're basically out for about an eight-hour day. They direct traffic, provide crowd control and security. This past year, we found that at the intersection of Greensboro and Weaver Street, we needed additional support from Public Works and the street crews. Ms. Brown, you and I have had conversations there many times during the music festival. The little blue cheese going by, we've got traffic north and south on Greensboro Street and literally hundreds of pedestrians, which is great. That's what we want. To make sure that these pedestrians are safe, that we're making traffic flow appropriately, we found that we're utilizing help from Public Works. So we're putting an officer or a public works employee on each corner of that intersection to communicate with pedestrians while we have one or two officers out directing traffic. When we stop traffic, then we allow pedestrians to go, and the event has grown to a point where that's an absolute necessity to have. The holiday parade now requires 28 officers this past year, and we have to bring these officers in or need to off duty. We can't detract from the six or five officers that are already out on the street because they're handling calls for service in the community need, so we bring in off-duty staffing for that. We do about 6 to 8 races per year. As David mentioned, Galloping Gorge is probably our largest in number, over 900 participants. I believe Mr. Forbes said about 960 this past year, early on Thanksgiving morning. And then our longest, as far as length that covers through town, is the Endurance 10-miler. 7 miles of that actually go through Carbro. Some of it go through the downtown district, so there's notifications for business merchants and the things that we need to do to be cordial to handle that race, but make sure that our merchants are happy and things, traffic is flowing. A new event that occurred was the Obama Get Out the Vote event, wonderful event. It was different for us. We hadn't handled something like that on town grounds during the day like that since and I'm not sure the name of it, but he's with Squirrel Nut Zippers or Squirrel Zipper Nuts Concert.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers. A long time ago. And this, you know, created different concerns for us. It was great, but because you have a political event like that, police have to look at it in terms of security, make sure that everybody's happy, and certainly that went off very well. And then, of course, now we have a high school. We've had a middle school, so the events that go with that. And then there's always Assist Chapel Hill with their events, like the NCAA tournament and Halloween. We like to try and do a lot of outreach when we have officers out at events. This is a Carver Day event. As you can see, the Recreation and Parks Department invites us to set up a booth. We have crime prevention and personal safety information with two officers there. You can see we've got Mr. Stewart is on scene. We've also got a police car. If you put a police car out, a marked police car with lights and a siren on it, I promise you it'll draw a crowd of kids around. You let them push that button and make that siren make a sound, and they've made their day. And we like to do that. Then they start to realize we're sort of friendly folks by nature and approachable, because one day they may need us, and we want them to feel like they can approach us. And here at the top, we've got Officer Austin, who's our resource officer at McDougal Middle School. And this is a group of kids he was working with at a cluster that he does out at the middle school. That's more of our outreach. Kids camp, we start off running a summer camp. Well, how does that mean we work better together? Well, to get kids from point A to point B, we can't just load a bunch of kids in a police car. So we called on Recreation and Parks. They provided vans for us. We've taken kids from Carver up to the Chatham County Jail on more than one occasion, let them tour the jail. It's part of their criminal justice introduction. And while there, they get fed at lunchtime at the jail, and they learn that things are done in portions. And it seems to be something that they really enjoy doing. It's one of the highlights of their camp. We also work with senior education, breakfast with an expert, work with Miss with Kim Andrews from the Recreation and Parks Department, myself, as have many other officers. We always enjoy doing those. Wanted you to know who we are and how proud we are to serve the community. To your left, you've got David Portress and Billy Austin working one of the town events, and I don't even really know which one it is. But that's two happy-to-be-there town employees. You can't, you know, a picture's worth a thousand words. They're just having a good time. To your right, we've got the Law Enforcement Officer Torch Run, where we raise money throughout the state and across the nation for Special Olympics. The reason I included that, we've got mostly police officers in there. For any of you in the social services end of things, you may notice Jim Hugrich, who is with the town of Chapel Hill, who is a crisis counselor. He's out running with us as well. He's not actually a police officer. And then Miss Bing, and I see she's here tonight. And I thought it was very appropriate because Miss Bing is not a police officer. She works for management or with management services here, but she gets out and runs with us. Miss Bing, you're always welcome to take my place, since I know you're an avid runner, because I don't do much running. Got bad knees. But we really appreciate it when we see other town employees out participating in the things that we do. Again, we deal with July the 4th parade. We've got a little image of that. Music festival's not up there. Galloping Gorge, we've talked about, and the holiday parade. And I see many of you as elected officials out at that. It's always wonderful to see y'all out, too. Scene three for us is always alert as crime fighters. We are police officers, and we have to go about the business of protecting and serving the community as far as crime fighters. Now, how does that tie in better together? Well, right here we've got the North Carolina State Bureau of Investigation, an outside resource that we have to work with for certain events that occur around town. This was a case where we also had the FBI in at this particular scene. Now, behind the scenes here, we had our fire department, who was staged at BPW Road. The town manager was out with us helping make decisions. Jim Woodall, assistant district attorney at the time, now the district attorney, was out. So we are always having to use other resources to effectively and efficiently do our job with the police department. Another scene here, unfortunately, we had a death investigation. To conduct that investigation, we have to send investigators into the scene. Without describing it a whole lot, obviously there's a need there for protective clothing and breathing protection. We don't have that expertise. Thank the Lord for Captain Freeman, who's able to come to the scene, get our investigators suited up, and get them self-contained breathing apparatus so that we can go in and effectively do our job. We keep our eyes open for any problems that may arise. Again, you can tell we've got a sort of a bird's eye view for the Obama event. We had many officers at the scene. That day we found out probably we had more resources available than we actually had a need for. But in police work and in fire work, sometimes it's better to have folks at the scene and not need them than to not have them at the scene and find out you do need them, because time sometimes can be of the essence. And we are proactive to recognize any suspicious persons or activity. You know, with any kind of event around town, we always know we've got groups of folks that sort of like to hang out and all, and you have to kind of keep an eye on them. In fact, many events, you find that the same people are there hanging out. If you haven't noticed to this point, we try to sort of highlight who these people may be. We'll talk more about that. And we are officer friendly. The image to your right is a sort of a ice cream social that we did. I think it was something sort of set up originally through human resources. I think the conversation to the image on the right is where Ms. Desiree from human resources is challenging Drew Cummings and the police chief to a draw to see who gets the ball first, which that was kind of silly because you don't challenge a police chief. She beat Drew with one hand, her left hand, while her other hand is to her side. It's pretty embarrassing. You just don't try to draw against your police chief. And then we've got Investigator Westbrook, who is on scene, appears to be having a good time, but actually he's sort of keeping an eye on the same suspect at the scene. The reason I've called attention to Mr. Stewart, and he knew we were going to kind of rib him a little bit, is it's really wonderful to work in a town where your town manager and elected officials are often seen behind the scenes or at the various events that we have. It makes you feel good when you're out working, you see the town manager, I see Ms. Brown, I see many of y'all appearing at these events. It makes us feel like we're all doing this together and that we're doing a really good job. Thank you. I'll call up Nancy Hemsley again from, I'm sorry, Kim Andrews from Recreation and Parks. Sorry, Kim. I'll let you hit the button.
Now we know the real reason that Drew went to Durham.
Glad he'd take on the sheriff.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us out tonight. I'm Kim Andrews. I'm a recreation supervisor with the Recreation Department. I help coordinate and organize many of the larger social events that you all attend. And in order to do that effectively and efficiently and safely, we work very diligently together with a lot of the other departments within the town. And in order to do that, we start many, many months in advance. And as you can see what's up there. I'm just going to kind of summarize. I think that a lot of the main points have already been hit from everyone else. But Public Works is one of the departments that we work very, very closely with, not only in my events, but also in some of the other supervisors' events, like Halloween, where they all work together. We have to coordinate things many, many weeks in advance and work with David and his staff on what their schedules are going to be and how to coordinate delivery, setup, and pickup of equipment, street closures, try to foresee any problems or things that might occur prior to it coming up. The other thing is also Public Works helps us out a lot on day of event tasks, not just the pre-event, but the actual day of and post, which is the cleaning up of the sites, recounting all of the chairs and tables and making sure everything gets back where it needs to. As you can see, it's always a joy to work with Joel. He always keeps things very interesting, and we enjoy working with him and his department. They're always very cordial. We always are able and feel that we've got a plan of action in place in case there's any sorts of emergencies. We all communicate day of. We have walkie-talkies, and we have set up and establish a point of kind of like a command central where we all coordinate and have certain people that are set up in order to handle anything that may come up during the day. So it's not just the outside. It's also we're working behind the scenes to make sure that everything's safe. The police department always assists us with traffic patrol, securing equipment as far as making sure that things are safe and set up the way they need to, and also the securing and transportation of concession money. An example of that would be at the Carrboro Music Festival, where we have many concession stands set up throughout town where we need to go around and collect the money, and they provide a safe transportation for that, which is really important to us. The fire department, we also, as Scott had kind of touched on, there are many different sorts of certificates of for tents as far as fire safety is concerned and fire retardancy on different sorts of sizes of tents. And our food vendors also have to adhere to having specific size fire extinguishers on site the day of. So there's permits that are issued on the day of. We secure equipment and tents and tables and chairs for them. We work with them prior to the event to make sure that they have what they need to be able to do their community outreach. In addition to that, with the police and the fire department, we also provide public service announcements and promotion for all of these things to try to get people to come out and try to highlight some of these particular booths that are there. Just so that the community is aware of what's going on. That also goes for Public Works. They also have a booth that's set up where people can look at all the different types of trucks and see how the things work. And everybody always likes the lift, the trash lift. The kids love that, and they like to get on the different types of gators and stuff that they ride around in. Also, the fire department also assists with additional bike patrol and first aid if we need it, which is great because it's always right next door, so we always feel really comfortable, and EMS is right down the street. So we're real fortunate that we have all that stuff really close by. The other behind the scenes that we work a lot with Nancy is securing contracts and all the necessary paperwork of all of these different people that come and perform for us. And that's a pretty long process. A lot of that stuff has to be done at least 2 to 3 weeks prior to, before the event even occurs. And we work together on getting that together. And that also is in securing and getting approval for purchase requisitions and payment requests. The other thing that I added on at the last minute was working with Andy within the Recreation and Parks Department. We've got, I believe it's like Carrboro Music Festival, CarrboroDay.com. We've got about 4 or 5 individual websites that are outside the town that we are constantly having to update, and Andy is always very helpful in helping us to get those up and running and if we have any problems. So we all kind of work really better together to make these things run as smoothly as they do, and we've been real fortunate. We have a great crowd to be able to provide all these things for the citizens. Okay, so I'm going to call it Nancy.
As Kim mentioned, Management Services plays a role with all the departments regarding these events, and many of these things are going on behind the scenes. For example, some of the things that happen behind the scenes is our supplies and services that are being ordered. All of the events have supplies and services that need to be ordered that are with those events, and with that, there might be a bid process involved. There also could be a purchase order process involved, and Management Services also performs a pre-audit function as well, which is in accordance with the Local Government Budget and Fiscal Control Act, that we need to make sure we have pre-approval on purchase requisitions and ensure funds are available and have been encumbered and appropriate and encumbered. So that's an important part of what we do behind the scenes. In addition, the contracts is a huge part of what happens behind the scenes as well, which is where we're working closely with Public Works and Fire, Police, and Parks and Recreation and Parks, where we're making sure that contracts are being negotiated, they're being approved, and they're being tracked for billing purposes. Our finance officer reviews these contracts and signs off on the contracts as well. And with Parks and Recs in particular, we work with them regarding an independent contractor list. It's a checklist that we need to go through and review, and it's very important for workers' compensation insurance purposes, so that we need to make sure that we are meeting that requirement as well. So it's important that we work closely with the Recreations and Park Department in that regard. In addition, with all the departments, if they have a new vendor, we have to work with them to make sure that we have a W-9 on file for 1099 purposes. And all of these things need to be done, as Ken mentioned, prior to the event. So there's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that people may not be aware of. And with that, if we go through the PO process and such and ordering supplies, then we've got to pay all these people. So we go through an accounts payable process as well, where check requisition is being received from the various departments. And Management Services is processing those checks through accounts payable. And also, payroll is happening behind the scenes as well. This happens every 2 weeks, regardless of whether employees are working on a Better Together project or working on these events together or any town activity, that payroll is happening. And also, one thing I'd like to mention that you don't see here is IT, is that our IT department is also in Management Services, is working with all the departments to make sure that the web pages are up to snuff. And so that's another thing that's going on behind the scenes. That's an important role. So in conclusion, there's a lot of backroom planning that goes on to make these events and town activities to appear to be very seamless and a very seamless operation. We hope, as illustrated tonight, that you can see that the departments are working together, and we're working better together to create a very safe, relaxing, an enjoyable environment for all who participate in our events and take part in town activities. So thank you, and I'd like to bring Jill back to the podium to wrap things up for us.
I think one of the key things that Nancy mentioned in hers, if you didn't catch it, was that every other week she has to get out payroll, so that's, we all want to try to help her and be better together. With all great productions, a supporting cast is necessary for success. We wish to acknowledge the work contributed by the following departments: Community and Economic Development. Specifically, this past Halloween, we had to get out a lot of notices. We had meetings with merchants from the downtown area to let them know what our change in plan would be this year for Halloween. So Mr. Harris was very helpful in what we had to do there. He was able to pull that business community together almost at the drop of a hat so that we could successfully do what we needed to do. And they were part of the planning on that too. Human resources, I think it goes without saying that the talent that works here for the town, I've been here over 24 years, this is a talented group of people. This is the kind of people that you want to be around in a work environment, and our Human Resource Department is responsible for making sure that we get, along with department heads, quality people to come in and put this together. Additionally, they do a big thing that probably brings more town employees together than any other event. That is our holiday luncheon, and the kind of spread and the feed that they put on. We get a lot of people there. I've seen over the years and recently many of y'all attend as town employees. We'd love to see y'all attend and fellowship with us for those events. The planning department, you saw a great big map that David Portress used for some of our race planning for closing streets and things so that we can see it on paper. A lot of that material we get because of the work done through our planning department. And then our town clerk, who is still out, I think, sick right now. Appreciate you filling in. But Ms. Sarah has been here for a long time, and she provides to you the information you need coming back from us to help you look at and make your decisions. In summary, the events we have just discussed help prepare all town staff for the occasional man-made or natural disaster. We saw a scene from the Tahiriazar event, natural disaster. We had a flooding a couple of years back down at Rocky Brook. Very quickly, the fire department was doing evacuations. The police department was directing traffic. David and his crew had equipment in place. We contacted the Parks and Recreation Department, and we had Chapel Hill Transit busing people up to a sheltered area because it was storming, lightning, thunder, and rain, that kind of thing. So the events we do that are planned events really help us as a police officer, I like to say, be able to fire from the hip to demonstrate our ability. And we know that the Board of Aldermen, Town Management, Mr. Stewart, and other town departments are always ready to provide the top level of service to the Carrboro community and our residents. At this point, I would like to open up the floor if there are any questions. I believe we had someone who wanted to review the credits and then review. Mr. Forbes said he'd like to say something, but Mayor, I'll turn it over to you and let you control it from here. So
come on up, Mr. Forbes.
went over time, so I'll do 1 minute of thanks to the people who have helped the Cardinal Track Club. Cardinal Track Club has been in existence for about 15 years, and our goal is basically to promote running and fitness in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. We've got 200 or 300 members who are engaged in that activity, and one of the main things that early on we wanted to do was to provide some type of event for people to be engaged in this kind of activity. And so we started a road race, Galloping Gorge race, on Thanksgiving morning. And then we added another one. We worked with Randy and some of her associates when the Familius race went through Carrboro. And we put on a 4-mile race on the 4th of July, all in Carrboro, all with the support of you folks and also folks that are represented on staff in Carrboro. We could not do that without the support of you and all of the great staff that do this. And we really appreciate how it comes together each year. We've done this now. This was our 12th annual Galloping Gorge. We had almost 1,000 people that turned out and participated in this event. The three events that we had this year drew more than 1,500 people into Carrboro. We're a nonprofit organization, so we take the proceeds from our races, and we identify in the spring of the year before we start this community support partners, agencies within the community whom we would like to support. This year, our 5 support partners were El Centro, Orange County Rape Crisis, Carolina Outreach Foundation, Club Nova, and Chapel Hill Optimist Club. And in December, I wrote out checks to the treasurer for $24,000, which we distributed to those 5 agencies. Couldn't do it without the fine work that these people and the others that are here that are part of their organizations do. We recently put our 3 races together in kind of a race series to add a little bit of something else. We call it La Tour de Carrboro. Any participant who completes all 3 of those races gets a jacket like this that has the La Tour logo on there. It has grown and grown each year. The number of people who start out in July saying, I'm going to do all 3. I'm going to get that jacket this year. So we've got over 200 people on the list this year that are waiting to get their jackets. They're coming in. They're going to be embroidered, and then we'll deliver those. So to conclude, I brought an email that came to us after our Thanksgiving race. Yay, I am so excited about this because she was letting us know about her jacket size. First, thanks to all of you at Cardinal Track and any other participating organizations, including the fine Carrboro Police Department and the officers that accepted the off-duty work for these events, and for all the hard work that went into putting these 3 great events together. My husband, Mike Minier, and I both enjoyed the beautiful routes through the established neighborhoods of Carrboro. This was our first year participating in La Tour de Carrboro races, and look forward to similar events in 2009. Keep up the good work. Merry Christmas and good health in the new year. I would like to order a Brooks warm-up jacket in a large size. Thank you so very much. A proud La Tour de Carrboro finisher. Yay me. And we have gotten so many people who feel so good about what they're able to do through this particular activity, and it could not happen without the support of Carrboro folks like you, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Dick, I have one question. May I ask?
Go right ahead.
I'm curious, you know, I've seen the races grow in numbers over the last several years, huge, really. How many folks do you have a sense come into Carrboro from well beyond Carrboro's municipality?
We get people from around the local area of North Carolina, meaning Raleigh, Durham, Pittsboro, Hillsboro, some from Burlington, a lot from the Chapel Hill, Farborough area. And we'll get people, especially at Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. who now know that this is an event going on in the town. So when they come into town from all over the country, we have from right. coast to coast represented for the Thanksgiving race. Mm-hmm. We'll have people who come in because they know it's on. Whole families come out and participate in it. And we get a lot of people that sign up the day before or that day because they're just coming into town mm-hmm. to spend the holidays here.
All right.
That's great. Thank you for your work. Well,
thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Trivia. let me say, I appreciate the whole presentation, and I especially think it's helpful and great to hear from the five of you. You know, we often see your department heads. They often come and present to us, and we don't often see the people who work for them and who actually make these things, all the things in Carrboro Town Government happen. So I especially want to say thank you, Kim, Scott, David, Nancy, Joel, or should I say Booker, like yeah. everyone else says. But we appreciate the work that you and all of your colleagues do to make Carrboro such a fantastic place to live and to visit. So, thank you. Yes, go right ahead.
I want to ditto the mayor's comments and also said that this past December, I had the opportunity to be at the employees' recognition luncheon, and I think our best kept secret is our staff. And I want to also kudos to the manager for the team that he has assembled together and shape and really maximize efficiencies everywhere. I think we are able to. I mean, you are the ones who allow the citizens of Carrboro to enjoy all these wonderful things that make us famous and a fantastic place to live and work and be here is the amount of experience, collective experience, that the staff has. It's incredible, the seniority of the staff that we have, and that I think that experience, I mean, for those, the dedication of those folks, only your leadership and this kind of approach, I think, is what makes the town of Carrboro the town that we are. And I was able to witness not just that, but also new blood coming in, new leadership being trained. My hat off to you, Mr. Manager, and to all the department heads and the employees that are really dedicated to the work that you do. Thank you for everything you do. This is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Okay. With that, I think we'll turn to item B2,
okay.
Downtown parking plan update.
Okay. Thank you all again very much. Good job. Downtown parking plan update. At the conclusion of the April 15th, 2008 parking study presentation, staff was directed to evaluate the study for further action recommendations. As you all know, staff has been working with the Economic Sustainability Commission on both short-term and long-term recommendations for downtown parking. And this item is to give you all an update on those ESC recommendations. And I believe Adina Messinger, our transportation planner, is making the presentation. But Mr. Harris is in the back row back there.
Good evening. I'm afraid my presentation is probably not as entertaining as the previous one, alas. As the town manager mentioned, I'm here to give you really an interim follow-up to the supply and demand presentation that you were given in this past spring. And what I'd like to do is review some of these study recommendations that have been provided through a variety of studies that the town has undertaken over the past several years, and have some opportunity for some discussion and also review the ESC's recommendations, which really are put together from those study recommendations. And if you so choose, to provide some more direction for staff as how to proceed with this topic. And so what this table has here on the left-hand side are a summary of the variety of recommendations that have come out of three studies the town has undertaken, those being the 2002 Parking Task Force report, the 2005 Downtown Circulation Study, which, while it did not focus on parking, did have some specific recommendations about parking, and as well as the Supply and Demand Downtown Parking Study from April. And as you can see, these recommendations range from things like transportation demand management strategies, which primarily focus on someone's commute to work and involve cooperation with employers and employees and incentives, to things that would improve some of the physical aspects of the town, such as lighting and signage, and also making the town a more walkable place, specifically the downtown. Of course, there's also recommendations for adding to the supply of parking, and whether that's through on-street parking or through some sort of structure like a deck or a garage or a parking lot. So those are all the kinds of recommendations. And I would point out that following the downtown, the parking task force in 2002, the town did go forth and implement some of the recommendations. There were some revisions made to the parking ordinances. There's always folks looking for the opportunities to make use of existing lots and how we can better utilize that space. I think that I believe that there were some on-street parking that was added on Sweet Bay in that area that added to the supply of the downtown parking following that report. What the ESC has done is they took a look at these variety of reports and said, okay, how do we keep moving forward with improving the parking situation in downtown Carrboro? And they provided a variety of recommendations that really come in two categories. The first is identifying some strategies that perhaps the town can pursue more in the short term, and that might be through opportunities that arise through new developments or any other kind of improvements that the town is already doing. How can we look at the downtown parking as well? And that includes, again, keeping an eye out for some of the on-street parking opportunities, taking another look at what was recommended in the downtown circulation study. You know, can we revisit some of those recommendations and, you know, move forward with that? What are the opportunities for improving walkability and, in particular, improving the signage in downtown so that it's more obvious where we already have parking in the downtown for the public? I think that, again, consolidation and sharing is something that we are always looking at, monitoring not only our progress with recommendations but also continuing on what the students had started in last spring and monitoring the supply and demand and trying to track that and see how it changes as the town continues to grow. And then also seeing if there are some opportunities to do some of perhaps the less cost-intensive type of transportation demand management, and working with downtown employers and finding out, you know, does it make sense to provide incentives for your employees to bike to work or walk to work or take the bus to work, and how can we make that a more feasible opportunity for employees in downtown Carrboro? The other category of recommendations really is focusing on developing a comprehensive downtown parking plan. And I think that the first goal or the first item that we would do in this effort would be to identify specific goals that the town has so that we can really understand which strategies fit in with that goal and what are the town's objectives in the long term of how we want to see parking in the downtown grow. And so this plan would include all of the short-term strategies that they listed, and they also provided some other strategies to think about that could be incorporated into a longer-term plan. And as you can see, a lot of these are some of the more intense type of strategies, like a parking deck or a garage, which we know has a large price tag associated with it. And sort of looking at ordinance, we know that kind of is a big undertaking. So. But that's how they've divided up these different opportunities. And what we hope is the next step is that we can, you know, take these and see where is the appropriate place to go. And I ask for your feedback and thoughts on what that direction should be.
I think those are nicely kind of divided into short term and long term. And I think, in particular, with the short term, the walkability, the signage improvements. I know we've talked about that. You know, trying to really identify lots that folks aren't even like the Weaver Street lot. You know, there are lots that people just kind of don't know are there. So I know that's a fairly economical strategy that it seems like you all have identified, and I do support that one as well as the others.
I wanted to ask Adina on the ESC recommendation on parking funds. This had come up before, and is maybe you could just clarify there are constraints to doing that.
Yeah, I think that the parking fund suggestion refers to, I think, two different things actually. One is coming up with a plan so that we can implement or use the payment in lieu option that's already in the land use ordinance. But in order to accept monies for payment in lieu, we have to have a parking plan in place, something that we know that those funds would definitely be used for. The other thing that I believe the parking fund refers to is looking at other opportunities for adding to that fund. So there's payment in lieu that could go into a pot, and then whether it's a special tax district or some other financial mechanism to make that fund grow. I believe that those were the two items that they were thinking about. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. And I had one other question. On attachment B1, I'm always interested in the study in the spring, I guess, by the UNC students. Number 6, the perception among business owners is that there is a parking shortage in the downtown. I'm concerned about the word perception. I mean, maybe the numbers didn't bear it out, but they're really, it's more than just the business owners that perceive that. So
I think that was based on what the numbers were showing, that there's certain times of day and certain days of the week where the parking supply really is reaching its maximum. But in general, and certainly midday, early morning, mid-morning days, you can find parking. And that's what that's what they're referring to. And so and I think what they also mentioned is that sometimes that parking space that's available is a little bit farther than folks might want to go or, maybe they don't realize that it's not as far, but they're just not used to looking at that Weaver Street lot, let's say, where you do need to walk a few blocks if you're going to get to the downtown.
So what is, I guess one of the things I'm looking for is how we tackle that perception, and is it, signage but what other things? I mean, just thinking if it's a matter of perception, how do we, bolster the resources and are able to convey that?
I think that the first step really is figuring out sort of education, whether it's through signage or through better maps or working with the business owners to educate their customers somehow. And then we could see, if that is an effective way of letting people know where the parking is and when they can park there, and trying to, also educating people as to which lots might be available during events. Some of the business owners have said, yeah, we're happy to have people at our events park in our lots during events, like with the farmers market. You can see the signs out there, and trying to keep reinforcing that there is parking. And I think that for sure it is a short-term solution. If the town continues to grow and continues to attract people in their vehicles, then that needs to work in concert with some of these other suggestions that they've recommended.
Well, I think the board, when we look at downtown parking, we should ask ourselves how much of it do we want to encourage parking, and how much of it do we not want to encourage parking? I mean, you could have in certain situations. For example, you probably want to encourage parking for Cat's Cradle at night, or, within a reasonable distance of Cat's Cradle. On the other hand, in the daytime, and you're not going to, say, to the grocery store or Weaver Street, but you're maybe stopping someplace else and it's just you, you may encourage somebody to use the bus or to walk or a bicycle. So the question is, in some respect, where do you want to encourage parking? The other idea I had was, you know how you have the little kiosk at the mall where it tells you where everything is? Maybe we should have a little kiosk, not as elaborate as the one at the mall, but, you know, a little kiosk that says, you know, these are where the public parking, one central place that says, this is where the, or in central places in downtown, this is where the public parking is. Or this is where you can park after 5 or 6 o'clock. Because, I would be willing to walk a reasonable space to go see something at the art center. I don't have to park at the art center at night, you know, to go to something at the art center. But if people felt that there were places that were safe that they could walk to, walk from and to, then it sort of solves the demand problem. Because it is certainly a different, you know, it's a different problem at different times. Like at Midway on Saturday, if you don't go at 7:30, you won't get to park in the closest one because you're going to the barbershop. So, I mean, that's the kind of things we need to start thinking about. And then the other thing that I had a question about, and I guess this is for the attorney, under North Carolina law, is there any way we could incentivize and reduce somebody's taxes because they provide parking, I guess? It's the opposite. I don't like to cut revenue, but if there could be sort of a balance, not a big reduction in revenue, let me say that. But, you know, there are a balance where, you know, we would get more retail tax because people were coming in and spending money. Yeah. So
off the top of my head, I don't have an answer to that question tonight, but we'll look at that.
I mean, that's just sort of one of the questions that I had. We have to balance. I mean, I'm not trying to close the revenue stream.
No, just to incentivize it.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
Well, yeah.
If I could add a comment, I think several of you picked up on the signage thing. And when I go to other communities, those are the kind of things that I look for and think about. And I think we have an opportunity to not spend a lot of money and do some powerful short-term things with signage, some sort of inexpensive kiosk and some small signage along the streets to say public parking, because we really have a fair amount of it, but unless you're from here, it's not that obvious.
Right.
And I also want it to be obvious for the folks who don't live within a mile of downtown. They're further out. Maybe they're on the 3 and 4 mile edge and to, for them, you know, to, for folks to be thinking, oh, I can go to downtown Carrboro because I know I can have a place to park, because they would be driving in. They probably wouldn't be taking the bus because there isn't bus service out there.
Not yet.
Yeah. But
keep hope alive.
But we still want them to come downtown.
Right.
And we want them to feel the same kind of sense of Carrboro, that better together. We don't want that only to be in the walking and biking radius, so there is always going to be some need for vehicle space.
No, I mean, and my thought is, I mean, it really is focused on whether it's somebody who lives in the vicinity or is coming from somewhere 200 miles away, that for folks who are not familiar with the downtown, that it becomes much more obvious where they can find places to park.
Yeah.
Even adding that up or having some, I know that James had done a lot to promote economic development in the website of the town. Place where, you know, folks are planning to come, they can find that information accessible on the internet.
For folks who do good advanced planning, that's good. But I think for the folks who just said, I'm going to go to Carrboro for the afternoon, I think we need to try to
find the
spot for those folks as well.
So that brings me to the question of the Sunday night Century Center event. Will people know where to park?
This Sunday night. Why don't you say what it is?
Oh, well, this Sunday night there is an inauguration gathering, a celebration at the Century Center. And I want to say it's 5:30.
I'm not sure what time it is.
It's like 5:00.
You can Google it.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's around 5:30, and you know, folks are very excited about it, and they're going to want to know where to park. but it's a celebration of the inauguration of Barack Obama as president. So come on out.
Well, on Sunday night, there's a lot of parking right here.
Yeah, that's
right,
true.
Right. They can park.
And we can park at Town Hall.
You can park at Town Hall. They can park at the Weaver Street.
And your favorite lot. What lot?
Which lot?
I wouldn't give away my favorite part.
That's a secret lot.
A piece of information right there. But
Mark, I have a quick question. I just wanted to follow up on Joel's tax comment. And Dana, maybe you all have talked about this, but there is some kind of tax break for business owners that provide incentives for their workers to bike to work. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a write-off of the business owner or the write-off of the worker, but it has something to do with the policy and riding your bicycle, and it might be. I think it's even more than that, yeah. But it might be something to just put on the radar for us to look into for our business folks to be aware of and their employees.
I have two things. One is I understood the point that you were making about the need for a plan that would allow us to accept payments in lieu. So, and I forgive me if you already addressed this question and I missed it. But so, where do we stand on the as far as a process for developing that type of plan so that we could be prepared to do that?
That's one of the things we kind of still need to work on. And I think part of one of the things that, as we've talked with the ESC, is that I think the town needs to identify really concretely the goals that it has for parking so that this plan can be created. So that would probably be the next step, is figuring out what are these, what do we really want to see? And then we can come up with the strategies that will support those goals and objectives, and that's where we can put the money into.
Okay. And the other, so that answers my question, I guess, at least for now, but it does seem to me that's important. That's an important step for us to, several steps, actually, for us to get through. The other thing is, and I've said this before, but I think it's important to put this whole topic in context. I think we've been budgeting, a couple of tens of thousands of dollars a year to go toward, development and maintenance of parking lots, public parking lots in downtown Carrboro, if I recall, something like $20,000 or $40,000, something like that, which is, a significant investment. But I think it would be helpful in developing whatever plan we might, and in reporting on what our activities are, to put in perspective the, the fact that we spend, I think, many hundreds of thousands of dollars on operating a public transportation system. Give access to our downtown.
$1 million.
I was going to say $900,000. Almost basically about $1 million a year. It doesn't serve just our downtown, but that's $1 million that the people of Carrboro are paying for an excellent transportation system that accesses our downtown. Also, at the same time, we've spent in the last couple of years, again, hundreds of thousands of dollars on building sidewalks, and have in the works bicycle lanes and sidewalks that are still forthcoming that lead into and connect with our downtown. And I guess my point is that I just want to keep it in context. We spend far more on public transportation, far more on bicycle facilities, far more on sidewalks, pedestrian facilities leading into our downtown than we do on parking. And so when we have these conversations about, potentially making greater investments in the future in parking in our downtown, that's not some kind of abandonment of our values as a town, but reflects that we are trying to maintain a kind of balance among an intermodal approach to it all, and one that, at least from my perspective, I anticipate would continue to place the greatest amount of emphasis on alternatives to using automobiles. But at the same time, parking downtown has a critical impact on our business community, and it's something that, that we do need to continue to work on. Good luck.
Thank you.
We want that all done by next week.
Yeah.
Not next week. Maybe 2 weeks.
Okay. Agenda item B3.
This is an update on the Metropolitan Transportation Improvement Program for 2011-2017. The Durham-Chapel Hill Carborough Metropolitan Planning Organization has released the draft plan for public comment. This item serves to update the board on proposed changes to the descriptions of several of our local projects and on Carborough's projects within the Transportation Improvement Project list. And Adina is already at the podium, so... once again, it's yours, Adina.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to bring this to you this evening. It's timely because the policy body of the Metropolitan Planning Organization, the TAC, is going to be meeting tomorrow morning to discuss the draft Metropolitan Transportation Improvement Program. And so there's two parts to this item. One is sharing with you these recommendations for six of Carborough's projects that were submitted through the local transportation improvement program as the MPO reviewed all the projects from the different municipalities and communities, realized that there are several projects that several communities were recommending and putting forward that that Carborough did as well. And so they were trying to see, does it make sense to combine these projects and have them be presented as one project that's being supported by several municipalities. And so I wanted to share those with you and see if you had any comments on that that can be brought to the TAC tomorrow morning. And then just to quickly go over where projects, Carborough's projects are ranking in the draft of the 2011-2017 MTEP. And so these are the six projects, I believe you've got them listed in your packet, that had some sort of coordination or crossover with some of the other municipalities. Homestead was being proposed as a project in Carborough, Chapel Hill, and Orange County, and they all had different extents and a little bit different descriptions, and the recommendation that the MPO made was, or at least the TCC, the Technical Coordinating Committee of the MPO, was to combine it into one project, and that would focus primarily on bicycle and sidewalk improvements with an opportunity for things like turn lanes, and recognizing that perhaps in Chapel Hill they would have turn lanes and in Carborough the design could be slightly different if they don't want extra pavement for vehicles. So that's the Homestead Road proposal. For Sewell, that was being proposed by Carborough and Chapel Hill. And just there's really just a small segment of it that's in Carborough's jurisdiction. And the descriptions were, again, very similar. They were covering the same extent. And, again, the suggestion was to combine them into one project that both Carborough and Chapel Hill were putting forward. Similarly, for number 3 and 4, where Carborough and Chapel Hill were proposing these projects, and the recommendation again from the to the MPO is that these projects be listed as one project, again primarily focusing on bicycle and pedestrian improvements and safety, and that both jurisdictions are going to support this project, and then projects 5 and 6. Olden C86 and Eubanks were proposed both by Carborough and Orange County. The extents were slightly different and the characteristics were slightly different. And because of, in the case of Olden C86, it's a really long road that we're talking about. And the recommendation was to keep it as three distinct projects in Carborough's jurisdiction. The segments would really focus on bicycle and pedestrian improvements, and then when you get past Eubanks Road and going up towards Hillsborough, the improvements would be bike lanes only. And then similarly on Eubanks Road, the section that goes from Olden C86 to, I believe, Rogers Road would have bike lanes and sidewalks, and then the rest of it would have bike lanes going out towards Chapel Hill. So sorry to run through that really quickly, but if you have any questions or thoughts on that, we can convey that tomorrow at the meeting, or we can say it's all right.
Wait.
Go for it.
Following protocol. I'm just concerned about the old 86 Rogers Road. These are my thoughts, but I would move the Franklin Main Brewer Merritt Mill intersection last and move everybody else up. I think the Estes Drive extension needs to be moved up. That's just my opinion, not anybody else's.
Can I make a quick clarification? Right now, this list here, it's not in order of importance.
Okay.
It's just to describe the context.
And the reason I say that is because the old 86 and Eubanks Road certainly is getting more traffic. Certainly there's going to be a lot more. I think we need to improve sort of the Chapel Hills Rogers Road small area plan. I think there ought to be some sort of, if you will, multimodal connection, because that part is going to grow. And so I think one of the things that we need to do, if the board agrees to it, is talk to our brothers and sisters in Chapel Hill and sort of have a more unified idea of that multimodal look. And that's just, those are my comments.
I'm sorry, I missed the last.
For the Eubanks-Rogers Road connection. And that would be my comment. And also, it would also connect those neighborhoods on the eastern side of Chapel Hill that front Rogers Road, a better access to move in that area as well. And I think you need to ask for that now rather than later, given the budget of the entire state. And so you need to kind of push it up there anyway so that when they are revenue, it won't have to wait. You know, my children haven't graduated from high school and it's still not there. So that would be my comment.
I was going to say that several of these projects, Adina and I had already talked about once because at our last MPO meeting,
right,
it was when we were kind of going over it. And Joel, your point about Eubanks Road and Old Rogers Road and Old 86, that's exactly, that's one of the points of emphasis I noticed in some of the literature for our meeting tomorrow, because a lot of folks are writing that use that corridor, not only to go up to Morris Grove to school, but also to go down to the park and ride.
Right.
Or down to Millhouse Road. I mean, it's the whole, and that whole Eubanks Road is being all built up right now.
Right. And depending upon what time you leave, you'll either take the Eubanks Road route to the park and ride, or you'll go by Morris Grove, depending upon what time it is,
right,
to catch the bus. So, that's why.
So that's three different, several just, I agree with you that we need to kind of work together on that, on having that be kind of seamless along there, as well as these others too, but I want to make that point about you,
Rob.
I was going to ask, or suggest about the same thing. I'm on Old 86 to Eubanks past Morris Grove every morning, and, having sidewalk, having bikeway, having bus and, making it appealing for multimodal is really important. There's two new, no one else has mentioned this yet, so I'll throw this in too. They're in the process of constructing two more facilities right on that road that will also, affect traffic. I was really pleased to see the recommendations of the subcommittee. I'm really glad they folded these projects. It was very sensible. I'm hoping that means that they'll, because they're folded and will have more strength from two municipalities and also the county, that we'll get them done sooner, maybe?
That's a good segue, actually. I'm going to fast forward a bunch of things here. But So the second piece is just taking a look at where these projects fall out right now. And this table shows the regional ranking. And so there's a ranking methodology that the MPO has come up with based on all sorts of criteria that they have each project be evaluated via this criteria. And this is how Carborough's projects fell when that first round is was completed, I don't think that this takes into account the combination of certain projects. As you'll see in some of the lists, if you look on the website, you've got Eubanks listed twice and Old NC 86 listed about five times. And so I think that that's one thing that might help some of Carrboro projects. The other thing is that right now these projects are the entire MPO. It's Durham County, Chatham, the piece of Chatham that's in the MPO, Carrboro, Chapel Hill, et cetera. And when the projects actually go to DOT, they divide them up by division. So what's going to happen is Carrboro's projects are going to be then evaluated with respect to Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, and Orange County. And really, it's they'll be prioritized by the TAC to see which ones the Division 7 wants to put forward to NCDOT as those top priority projects. I believe the last time we did this, they gave their list of 15. So even though there's going to be more than 15 projects, they picked their top 15 that they wanted to put forward to DOT for consideration in the state transportation improvement program. So this is sort of how things are shaping up right now, and we expect that certainly after tomorrow's meeting and several of the upcoming meetings, these numbers will hopefully look a little bit better for at least a couple of Carrboro's projects.
Good question. I think the old Fayetteville Road sidewalks there has been fantastic because there's so many people living in those apartments, so it's being used. I see them. I live around there, so I see them being used. But where does the segment from 54 to McDougal falls into it?
That right now it's Carrboro's number one project. It's Fellow's number 30 in the regional ranking. The good thing about that project is it's actually already in the state transportation improvement program. Unfortunately, right now it's unfunded. And each time we approach DOT, we try to make a stronger case for getting that into the funded column. I know that they have been working on the design. We've seen designs for that. So, I believe there's an interest from DOT to get that project moving forward. They spent money on preparing the design, and so it'll be important to continue to stress to them how important this project is.
So that little segment right there from 54 to McDougal, it's keeping a whole bunch of people who live in those apartments.
I think from
walking to school or mm-hmm. biking.
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. Public input will be important, I think, also as this process moves forward, letting folks know that to put in a good word for this project does help.
On the Franklin Main Brewer Merritt Mill intersection project, so the TCC's recommendation. Removed from Chapel's list of 15 and combined into one project. Project will be scored using the highway ranking methodology. I'm not sure I know
what that means.
Not really, but I don't really want to know what the highway ranking methodology is. That's not my question. I guess what's the import of what the TCC is saying there?
So Chapel Hill's put forward 15 different intersections in their jurisdiction as one lump project, and said, and that's mostly based on a study that they did for the MLK corridor, and they added in this intersection, I think maybe one or two others with that, and they lumped it all together.
Let me stop you right there. So did they have some kind of schematic?
This intersection.
For this intersection, there was no particular proposal about what that would look like.
No.
I guess the same thing, if I recall, the same situation arose last year when I was on the representing us on the MPO, and this project actually came out, as I recall, as the number one highway project in the entire Durham, mm-hmm. Orange, Chatham area was the improvement of this intersection. And because there's so many accidents there, apparently.
Yeah, okay.
And traffic congestion and whatever, things like that, which is, I guess, what the highway ranking methodology is. Those of us from Orange County on the MPO decided at the time, a year ago, to bump it down the list simply because you know, Chapel Hill and Carrboro had not developed any kind of unified vision for, or even approximate vision for what that would look like when we're done with it. And I guess I still have the same reservation I did a year ago, which is, you know, it makes me nervous to think about going to DOT and saying, we want y'all to fix this intersection, but we don't have any particular
scheme
idea about
or design
what it ought
want
to look like, that I just worry about what will they come up with, because they tend to come up with different things than I do. So,
how will Greenbridge impact that intersection? It's sitting right there.
It's going to be 100 new residences
exactly.
a block away. I mean, it'll impact it a lot.
Right.
I mean,
so.
But I don't necessarily. I'm just going to have to, you know, interject that I don't think that particular development, because of the existence of that particular development, should bump it up in front of everybody else.
No, I'm just saying that may cause the two municipalities to come up with a plan, though.
Well, you know.
I mean, if the plan has to precede the, you know, where it is on the line of priority, that may cause us to sit down and carefully consider a plan.
Let me say this. I have two kids that go to Taekwondo, and so I drive through that intersection at just the wrong time of day, twice a day. And, you know, as bad as it is, I'm not eager to have it really be that high on the list compared with some of these other projects, you know. And I do think something that some improvements need to be done, but I really think it would be smarter for us to work with the town of Chapel Hill to develop an idea of what that would look like before that gets ranked very highly.
Right. I agree with the mayor.
And, you know, I guess what else I'm trying to say about that is, if our number one priority comes out 30th in the region and is currently unfunded, you know, until we get past the point where our number one priority is unfunded, I'm really not interested in talking to DOT about making changes to that intersection, because that intersection it does make the top 10, but it is not by no means number one for me.
Right. Well.
So, but I agree also with what you said earlier about some of the other coordination with Chapel Hill that needs to happen. I think the other things are probably easier to coordinate with Chapel Hill than that intersection, but.
Right. I mean, if there was a priority, and I think even for the Chapel Hill citizens living on the other side of the, what I call the unannexed, you know, Chapel Hill residents, because they control the ETJ, I think we should put more of our energy on the Eubanks Rogers Road corridor. That's my opinion, and that would be my feedback.
Yeah, I agree.
So, I will ask staff for this. You know, I hate to mention it, but it is what it is. You know, the state has an estimated gap of between $2 to $3 billion. So I'd kind of ask the staff to sort of keep a heads up on what the state is going to do with the DOT money, because they're looking at everybody to cut. And what kind of effect will that have on the projects? And we could look at that now so that when revenues do increase in the future, we can at least have a plan for accessing those. Would be my, you know, suggestion to the board.
Okay. Thanks, Adina. We have just a couple quick things before. That was it, right?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
Thank you.
Just a couple quick things before we go. First of all, the day that is available for our legislators to meet with us is January 23rd, 2009. At 7:30 a.m.
That
is Friday, a week from this coming Friday at 7:30 in the morning. I'm sorry it was not a situation where more of y'all could give feedback about that, but trying to get our legislators here, particularly Speaker Hagney is a very busy fellow, as you can imagine. That's what we came up with, and I hope it'll work for as many of us as possible.
Do you need a resolution for that?
I've called for it, so
right.
That's just when it is, but I wanted to kind of formally say it to y'all and explain why we didn't have more discussion about when it would be. The other thing I wanted to mention is I will be in Washington, D.C. at noon on January 20th, and I probably won't be back in time to make our meeting next week, so good luck. Goodbye. I should have mentioned at the beginning of the meeting that both Jackie and Dan are not here tonight because they're unwell. I don't think either of them is contagious, and I'm sure they'll be fine, but
could
be here tonight. And last thing is I would like to just give a quick plug for the OASIS Taste of Hope program, which assists people in paying their water bills. If you want to sign up to help out with that program, you can check OASIS website, which I believe is oasa.org, and there's a link on their homepage to the Taste of Hope program. You can help out. All right. Anything from staff?
Just one thing. I'd sent you all a note last week suggesting you think about the possibility of canceling the February 3rd meeting because of the retreat on February 2nd, which typically we don't meet the week of the retreat.
That is a motion and a second. All those. The second was from Joel Brent.
It was.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Aye, Scotty.
All right.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.